We're going to go to the Lord in prayer before we open up the service. We always ask if anyone has a special need here or they need healing. We're going to, at the end of the service, we always have an area down here to come down for prayer, for healing. But if you have a need right now, would you just lift your hands to the Lord and let those around you see that hand? This is an act of faith in believing that God can touch and heal right now. We also want to remember in prayer some of our special needs. And I'm just opening up a member care app. I know that Alex Stone messed her leg up pretty bad in church a while back. We want to pray for healing for that. And then Sister Carpenter, which I'm hearing some great reports, but we want to continue in prayer for her as she gains her strength. We want to also pray for Chris Krajewski. Sorry, I said that wrong. But he's been in the hospital. He basically almost died this last week, Ted's son. And so we want to pray for a speedy recovery and things like that. But if you have other needs, would you just lift your hands to the Lord? Let's just pray. I want everyone to do me a big favor, though, when we get into this. Would you pray out loud? Pray out with your voice? And just let's just give an intense few moments of prayer, and then we're going to go and have our worship service in here in just a few moments. Would you just lift your hands in prayer with me right now? Lord Jesus, we ask you, God, that you would touch, Lord Jesus, every situation that's in this sanctuary, God, that you would lay your hand on every single need, Lord Jesus. We ask you, God, that you would bless every single person who has a special unspoken, Lord God, has a need of healing today, Lord Jesus. We ask you, God, that you would move upon every single family who's struggling, God, who has needs in their family, Lord Jesus. We ask you, those who are overcoming sickness or struggling with disease, Lord Jesus, that you would enter into the situation, oh God, that you would call an audible in their life, Lord God. You would speak a word over them, Lord Jesus, and change, Lord God, the direction, oh God, of what's happening, God, if it's going in a negative or a bad direction, God. We ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would touch, Lord, that need, Lord, and just bless them, Lord God. We ask you to bless your children today, Lord God, that they would receive the word of God into their hearts, Lord God, like a seed, Lord God, that would be planted and grow into something beautiful in their lives, Lord Jesus. We give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise, Lord Jesus. We lift you up in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, God. Amen. You may be seated. If you're a guest here today, we just welcome you to Calvary Gospel Church. We just would like to get connected to you in another. We have so many connection groups. You just missed our connection fair last week, and it was such an awesome time to see all the different offerings of small groups in our church. But if you're new to us, you may not know about all the things that we do. And so we have this link that you can fill out. It's a bit.ly link. It's just /connect to CG, connect to Calvary Gospel. And if you're here in person or if you're watching online, if you're here in person, there's a kiosk in the vestibule that you can go to, and there's a little iPad and you can fill it out. But we'd like to get connected with you. We also have a small gift for you today. And so we want to make sure that you get that. And so if you would do that, that'd be great. We're just happy that you're here today. We have some giving options today. We wanted to make you aware of. First of all, you can give online at any time at cgcmadison.org/giving. You can also give in person if you'd like to drop your offering off at the small plexiglass box in the vestibule. You can do that at any time as well. You can also at any time give by mail if you want to mail in your tithes and offering to 5301 Commercial Avenue. Or if you're on our mobile app, it's called Church Center, you can give at any time on Church Center as well. And many of you are on that, and that's also a great way to stay connected to all of our church events and our groups, small groups, ministries, and other things. And so get connected as soon as you can. If you haven't got the app on your phone yet and you're a faithful member of Calvary Gospel Church, please raise your hand. I'm just joking. Get the app on your phone, okay? We really need you to do that because we get so many calls and people asking us about, you know, when's this event and why didn't I get invited to this? And the truth of the matter is, it's all on there, and it's very, very elaborate, and you can see everything you need there. So this Thursday, there's a youth fundraiser. Does anybody like burgers and milkshakes? Woo! The fundraiser is going to be at Muya. Okay, this is a hamburger and milkshake restaurant. It's in Sun Prairie this Thursday from 5 to 9. And so when you go in there and you buy a hamburger and a milkshake, they donate some of the funds to our CGC youth. And so please remember Thursday to go to Muya and get you a hamburger and a milkshake and support our youth group. Amen. This Thursday, February 23rd, okay, this Thursday also, is our annual business meeting at 7 p.m. I'm sorry, not this Thursday. A Thursday in the future. Sorry. Thursday, February 23rd is our annual business meeting at 7 p.m. And so anyone who's interested in that, you can please be there. But you need to be on time, and because it may not go very long. And so you don't want to miss any important details. So please be on time for that. March 5th is our spring baby dedication service. And so to register for that, you can use that Bitly link. You can scan that, or you can type that into your phone. That'll take you straight to our Church Center app, and you can register your child for our baby dedication. Also, you can just use the Church Center app right on the first screen, on the home screen. You can just touch the link, and it'll take you in and take care of that for you. At this time, we have a Save Our Children promotion by Brother Solberg. Where are you at, buddy? Woohoo!
To my younger self. Today, you preached your heart out.
So that we would not be able to multiply, so that we would not be able to see revival, he begins to attack your mind.
The empty lot that you pass in town is now a church you pastor.
Today, you led a small group in the house you grew up in. The same hallways you filled with laughter are now filled with your prayers.
Today you started a Bible study with your childhood friend. The example you set made a difference.
The dreams God gave you, they're finally here.
You will experience victories beyond your wildest dreams.
And yes, there will be valleys.
But keep going.
Keep praying.
Keep studying. Because before you know it, you'll wake up and realize
the future
starts
now.
In 2023, a $4 million Save Our Children offering goal is an investment in our children's future now.
Praise God. So good to see everyone here. Before I get started, I just want to take a moment and say how good you look today. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor right now and say, man, you look good today. Now turn to your other neighbor and say, I know, right? All right. Praise God. Somebody right now, I wonder if somebody in here could tell me, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. That's right. Sometimes a daunting task is to look at that elephant and think, I cannot do that, right? But if you just start by one bite, and we look at the investment of our children, and we look how important they are, but we think about our goal of $4 million, but if we all pitch in and just give something, give a little, amen? Praise God. I look at our children, I look at how valuable each one of them are, how precious each one of them are, how awesome each one of them are. And it goes beyond just us in the church. The world even knows, because the world and the enemy is vehemently attacking our children. Amen. The world is trying to indoctrinate our children with lies, with perversions, with tearing down the very structure of the family unit. Amen? It is imperative now more than ever that we stand behind our children, that we invest in our children. I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about time. Pastor Peter's been talking about the order of the priesthood. Parents, fathers, we are the priests of our families. Amen? We must invest in our children at home. We must invest in our children at church. Through the curriculum, we need to teach our children from the very moment they come out of the baby's womb, praise God, that Jesus loves them, amen, that there is one God and that he loves them, and continue to put that word in their hearts. The Bible says, hide thy word in my heart that, what? I may not sin against thee. You know what? We each of us have been affected by some lights here in this church that have gone out. But I believe with all my heart that there's a seed inside of each one of those people who have walked away from this truth. And that seed is going to sprout up. That seed is reminding them every time that they sin, every time that they turn from God, that it's there just ministering and that it's there just growing inside of them. And one day that we're going to see a great revival from our prodigals. Amen. Praise God. But that seed starts at a young age. And it starts in each one of our homes. Now, not everyone has the opportunity to have great parents like each one of you. Not everyone has that opportunity. So save our children. I'm going to go through some of the benefits and the things that this fund goes towards. Now, 50% of the funds raised by our district stay here at home in the Wisconsin district. And those monies go towards our camp, which is amazing, young people. All right. We love our camp. Now, camp is not just going to feed the mosquitoes once a year, but it's going, amen, where children can get away from their parents. They can have a connective experience with the Holy Ghost and allow God to move in their lives. Through family camp, through junior camp, we've seen many, many children receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We've seen them make connections with other children and receive relationships. And it's just an awesome thing. So we love to support our camps. We love to see all of our Bible quizzing. We love our Bible quizzers. Amen. Praise God. So it goes towards supporting Bible quizzing. Our international SOC Holy Ghost rallies and crusades. Again, not everyone has good parents like you, so we have Holy Ghost rallies across the world. Who these are established resources at getting to these children, and they've seen great numbers of children receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I was excited to hear yesterday Sister Thompson and her testimony in our leadership meeting, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but it was at a young age that God started to reach out to her, amen? And it was at a young age that God started to minister to each one of us here in this place. I can't tell you your story, but you know your story, and you know where you were when God said, hey, I love you. I'm calling you out of darkness. I have something special for your life. You may not have been pretty. You may not have been clean and right for God, but God said, hey, I want you. Amen. God loves children. Praise God. Our North American missions. Praise God. It helps support the North American missions program. Hope on a Hill. It's an orphanage in Haiti. Praise God. And then we have our training conferences and disaster relief. Now, I'm not going to take up more of the service, but hopefully I haven't gone over what I'm allowed. But I just want to encourage you to take some time, go home, pray and think and ask God. Maybe husbands and wives connect and just ask, what can we do? What can we give? Amen. Praise God. There's going to be an offering taken. And now, obviously, the structure of the offering is not a physical offering, so you can go online and pay it. But just make sure you know where those funds are going. Amen. And thank you. Thank you for everything that you do for our children. Amen. Praise God. You may stay time as we worship God together.
Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, God. this opportunity to come before you. Thank you that we have this opportunity to lift you up, Jesus. We magnify your name, God. Take all I have in these hands and multiply, God, all that I am, and find my heart on the altar again. Set me on fire, set me on fire. Take all I have in these hands and multiply.
Your power.
your spirit lives within me, so I will walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me, my victory, my victory.
Your spirit lives within me, so I will walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me, my victory.
Stronghold will be broken. We will see the heavens open. Fear is overcome by perfect love, perfect love. Every mountain will be level. Every desert will be flooded. Fear is overcome by perfect love, perfect love. Every stronghold will be broken. We will see heaven's open, fear is overcome by perfect love, perfect love. Every mountain will be leveled, every desert will be flooded. Fear is overcome by perfect love, perfect love.
Cause I proclaim and I confess, I declare with my own lips, only life and no more death. Jesus is alive,
Spirit of the living God, that raised the dead and brought new life, dwells in us to testify that Jesus is alive. I proclaim and I confess, I declare with my own lips, only life and no more death, cause Jesus is alive. I proclaim and I confess, I declare with my own lips, holy life and no more death, cause Jesus is alive. Spirit of the living God, that raised the dead and brought new life, dwells in us to testify, Jesus is alive.
The same power, the same power that crushed the enemy, the same power, the same power, the same power lives in me, the same power, the same power that crushed the enemy, the same power, the same power, the same power,
same power,
same power, same power. stronghold will be broken. We will see the heavens open. Fear is overcome by perfect love, perfect love. Every mountain will be leveled. Every desert will be flooded. Fear is overcome by perfect love. Let's sing that out one more time.
Every stronghold will be broken. We will see the heavens.
Fear is overcome.
Fear is overcome by perfect love, perfect love.
Every mountain.
Every mountain will be
every
leveled.
Desert.
Every desert will be flooded. Fear is overcome by perfect love, perfect love.
As I proclaim and I confess, I declare with my own lips that only life and no more death, 'cause Jesus is alive. The Spirit of the living God that raised the dead and brought new life dwells in us to testify that Jesus is alive. It's the same power, the same power that crushed the enemy. That same power, that same power, the same power lives in me. That same power, hallelujah, Lord, that corrects the enemy. Hallelujah, Jesus. Could you just lift up your voice right now? The same power of the Holy Ghost, the same power that crushes the enemy. For your power, Jesus. Thank you for your power, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hear your love of
Church, there's a powerful, powerful presence of the Holy Ghost in this place today. This is your first time in an apostolic church. We just believe in doing it how they did it in the Bible. Worshiping together, lifting holy hands, praising the Lord, clapping, singing. It is so great this weekend to have brothers and sisters Galen and Ann Thompson with us. And they ministered to our leadership team yesterday. And I appreciate this man and his wife pouring themselves into our congregation. And we love and appreciate them. And I'm not going to go. I want to hear Brother Galen preach. God bless you, my friend. Thank you so very much. It's an honor to have you here again.
Thank you, church. You may be seated. It's very good to be with you this weekend and have the honor to speak to the leadership of this church. We do not take that lightly. That's an extremely great honor to my wife and I. And it's also a sign of the strength of the leadership of the church that Pastor Grant can bring people in to impact his people and trust us. That's a very humbling thing. We're very grateful. And it's always good to be here. I know that I have a daughter who goes to church here. So it's always nice to come here, and we always say it and don't mean it flippantly, but coming here is like coming home, and we're very grateful that we have a place that we can come and feel that way. Amen. Amen. I don't want to take a lot of time this morning in the preliminaries. I do want to say
Great big thank you to the Grants for the invitation and their hospitality, also for Abby and Jordan and their hospitality. We'd like to give a shout out to Brother Simmons and Sister Simmons. Brother Simmons today was in his lesson this morning, was talking about ABI. That's an abbreviation for Apostolic Bible Institute, for those who aren't familiar with the letters stand for. And my wife and I had the privilege to be teaching at that college when Jerry was a student. And we did the best that we could to take him in, and to the point that in some ways we almost feel like he's one of our kids. So we really appreciate Brother Simmons. Amen. All right, if you can take a look in your Bible and turn with me and just stand for the reading of the text, and you can be seated after that. I'll be going to St. John chapter 12, verse 31 through 33. St. John 12, verse 31 through 33. Now, this is Jesus speaking, and this is Jesus speaking as he is entering into his last week before crucifixion. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. He said this, signifying what death he should die, speaking about lifted up on the cross, a death of crucifixion. So he's saying now, immediately at this point in time, at this crossroads and this conjuncture, that is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince, the ruler of this world, the cosmos, the orderly arrangement of this universe, be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, which is about to happen, he's in his entering his last week, I will draw all men unto me. You may be seated. I'd like for us to jump back to the very beginning of everything, and that is, of course, Genesis. And in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." In the beginning, God. In the Hebrew, it's Elohim, which really speaks about the self-existent one, the almighty one, the creator and the progenitor of all things from which all things exist. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the Bible says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light." And that's the beginning of the creation. Again, as I said, God being Elohim, the self-existent one. But later it says the Spirit of God, and the word Spirit is simply the breath of God, the movement of God. So, and then it says later that God said, so we have God, the Spirit of God, and God said. God, God's Spirit, and God's words are simply different ways of speaking of God acting, God in action. In Scripture, God's Spirit is never someone or something other than God. The Spirit is not another God. No more than you can separate your breath from you, you cannot separate the Spirit from God, because the Scripture says in John that God is a Spirit. So the Spirit is never something other than God, and the Spirit of God cannot be separated from God anymore, as I said, than your breath or your thoughts or your words can be separated from you. And God said, those are God's words, just as though if we would speak, it would be our words. We also find in the Scripture, and bear with me as I build a little base for my thought this morning, that God is referred to oftentimes when we think of the Spirit as holy, the Holy Spirit. Holy characterizes the attribute of a Spirit. Sacred, set apart, absolute purity. Holy defines the nature of God and God's actions. Everything he is, everything he says, everything he does, his being is holy. And what we find in subsequent verses is that God goes through the process of creating this earth, and on the sixth day, he creates man, and he creates man in his image. We know that God is holy, and when he created man in absolute purity and innocency. Man was created without sin. We understand that from the scripture. And he created us in his image. Well, there was a fallen angel by the name of Lucifer who was a little bit upset about the fact that God created something lower than the angels and was giving all his attention to it. And he himself, who had been an angel and one of the highest of angels, had been kicked out because of the pride that rose in his heart. And he focused on God's creation and he tempted Eve. And Eve partook of the fruit that God said, you freely can have everything and I created except the tree of knowledge and good and evil. Thou shalt not eat of it. From the day that thou eat of it, you shall surely die. And there's this evil attempt on darkness to take a strike at the heart of God by tainting God's perfect creation. And in the reality is that the creation of humanity was the everything in every day of creation was just a stepping stone building up to the greatest and the highest of all creations, the man and the woman. All of creation leading to that was for the final creation. This was the focus of what he was doing. And this is what Satan was after. Not only to get at the heart of God, but in the process of his temptation to even bring division between the man and the woman and the man, woman, and God. All in one swift swoop. Don't think that the devil isn't any different today. He's after your heart. He's after your marriage. He's after your family. And so man fell. And we know that the scripture says that in the day that thou shalt eat of it, thou shalt surely die. But I want you to see and understand the heart of God. That was his law. That was his word. He had every right at that moment to wipe out Adam and Eve. And the Bible says that when they sinned, that they hid themselves from God. They separated themselves from God. And the Bible says that they knew that they were naked. And that whole thing is, what that's referring about is that when it says that they knew that they were naked is, of course, in innocency, there was no need for a covering. But when they were in opposition to God, there was this feeling of an exposure. This feeling of I've got to cover up because something has been violated. And so they sowed fig leaves to cover themselves. And God comes walking in the garden. He calls out to Adam, where are you? And Adam, of course, is hidden. And the Lord asks him, why? Why is he separated? And what has happened? And how did you know that you're naked? And he goes through the story. Instead of confessing what he did, he blames the woman. And the woman blames the serpent. And on goes the story. But God had every right. He had every right to take the life of Adam and Eve. But because he created in Adam and Eve himself with his own hands, if God has hands, and he formed them out of the dust of the earth, and he made an investment and breathed his own breath into their nostrils, and it was his creation, and his creation which was now tainted and broken, instead of wiping them out, instead of that, he had mercy in his heart and a way, and found a way that he could save his creation from what had happened. We know that he was going to take their life, and the scripture tells us that life is in the blood. And there's no way that a perfect and a holy God could continue in a relationship with a sinful mankind. There needed to be a buffer. Adam and Eve tried to create this buffer with fig leaves, but God went and killed some innocent animals, maybe sheep, and he made coats from the skins of animals who didn't sin, who weren't a part of all this. And that covering of skins was the buffer that allowed there to be a continuation of relationship. Surely man began the process of death that day. But in the mercy and the grace of God, he's looking at his fallen creation, and the cry of God from his heart is not to curse and to destroy, but it is I want to redeem, I want to bring back into the right relationship that which was taken from me through the fall of man and through the deceit of Satan. And that begins the whole dialogue that we find throughout the scripture. We find that the pure beauty and unfiltered relationship ceased. Man was corrupted with a sinful nature. A holy, sinless God had to do something. He had to create that buffer. So in chapter 3, verses 14 and 15 of Genesis, the Lord turns to the serpent and he says, because you have done this, you're cursed more than all the cattle, more than every beast, because prior to that, the serpent was the most subtle of the beasts of the field. But he cursed it and he said unto it, on your belly you shall go and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman whom you deceived, and between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise your head. The seed of the woman shall bruise your head, serpent, and you shall bruise his heel. From the woman who was the one who was deceived, man was not deceived, but the woman was deceived. Adam knew what was going on. But Eve was deceived. And I won't go into that because it's a whole other lesson. God began to build a plan that through the very means that Satan made an inroad through the seed of a woman would come the ultimate and final defeat. Instead of just wiping it all out, he decided that he was going to take the creation that was fallen and use it for salvation. And you sit here today, and there's maybe some brokenness and hurt and sadness in your heart. And your life has been wounded, maybe a father wound, who knows what the wound is, because we all have wounds in this life. My same God who did that for Adam and Eve will find a way through the midst of your pain to bring salvation to the very people who've been wounded. So, to hasten on, in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, the angel says to Mary, and I'll just have to say that throughout the Old Testament, God never inhabited human hearts. But throughout the whole Old Testament, it was all these blood sacrifices, and that blood that kept being shed, was always this buffer so that God could have a relationship with his creation. But all that blood was looking forth to the fulfillment of the promise that from the seed of a woman would come one who would be the ultimate victor. So that leads us, and I know I'm racing all the way up into the New Testament at this time, and in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto Mary, the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit which we read about way back in Genesis, will come upon you. Again, this is God in action. Will come upon you, Mary, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born of thee will be called the Son of God. Going to Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. I want to go into the book of Hebrews and continue to carry on the story. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, and then verses 14 to 18. And the writer of Hebrews talks about how that we see the disparity and the horribleness of how things have come, and it seems that man has no hope. But then he says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. We see him crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be merciful and a faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people, for that in himself he suffered, being tempted. He is able to aid those who are being tempted. What is the story? The story is that what we find in Jesus Christ is we find God Almighty robed in flesh, incarnate in flesh. That's what it means. The God who created all this, who gave the promises and spoke all the things and made all the earth, it was all convoluted by Satan. But in his plan, he says, I'm going to come myself of a seed of the woman, the very source that brought all this. I'll be born of that. Just like Adam was created in purity and holiness, I will face everything that they faced just like they faced it, but I'll be victorious. Why? Because the only way he could come amongst man was to come in being buffered by pure and innocent blood. And he was sinless. And he walked on this earth. He was tempted in all points, like as we, yet without sin. He faced everything. God didn't have to do that, but this is what I'm trying to get to our minds somehow to comprehend. That is the depth of his love. The very depth of his love. That he would draw a plan to say, I don't like what has happened. I want so bad to pull and redeem my creation back out of that situation and restore a relationship that's been interrupted. So he came. And in innocent flesh, because you have to understand, in the day that they eat of it, they shall surely die. He came as a human, God in flesh, both of divine nature and human nature, remained sinless, and even allowed humanity, the very creation, to crucify him. But it was all part of a plan. First of all, the only way that he could be amongst men was in sinless flesh. But the only way that he could be in man was that he had to face this as a man, defeat it, die, ascend, and then send the Spirit of Christ, which is God in Christ, back into human hearts. The only hope that I have or you have of having God within us is because what we have when we have God in us is the Spirit of God in Christ. That holy, pure, sacrifice, sinless lamb. That Spirit can dwell within us even though we're sinners, because he made a plan. And I'm trying to take very long the whole Bible and compact it in about 25 minutes this morning. But why would he do that? And what's the plan? The whole plan is, the whole purpose of it is because today we don't just have to hear about a God. We don't just have to read about him in a book, but we can experience a God. And you have to remember that any time that refers to God as Spirit is talking about the movement of God, the actions of God. And here we are in 2023, sitting in this assembly in Madison. And as we were here worshiping today, I and you felt the presence of God. The very being of God was into this place. Why was he here? Because he still cares about humanity. And he's still reaching. He's saying, I don't want my people to go eternally into a state of destruction. I'll pay the price. Thank God that he has. So I'm coming back to our text and begin to think about what we began with today. And it says, now Jesus at that point, as he's ready to go to the cross, It is almost as though it is heaven and earth, this screaming of this point of epic pinnacle of all powers and forces that are opposed. Now is the judgment of this world. Everything is led up to this moment. I've walked through this. I haven't sinned. I've defeated it. I'm about to die, be crucified by the very thing that I created. But I'm doing that because I care so much for what I created that I'm willing to die to redeem what I've created, even though what I've created is killing me. And he's saying, now is the judgment of this world. Now the prince of this world is going to be cast out. This is the epic moment. The powers of Satan, who've been dictating and holding and constricting man, are being broken forever because of the price that I'm about to pay. And he says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. What I'm here to tell you is that word draw all men unto me literally means and can be interpreted in Greek, which is written, a magnetic force. Now you may sit here today and think, no, God doesn't care about me. And what about all the other people that I see round about? And God's not interested. But he said, if I be lifted up, if I pay this price, I will draw all men. This happens to be a, and I won't take the cover off of it, but a magnet that can pick up 100 pounds. 100-pound bowling ball. But I'm using it just to help you to understand. What's going on right here while we're here today is that the Almighty God, because of the price he set, prayed, he said, if I be lifted, if I go to the cross, I will draw all men. All men. I don't care what color they are. I don't care what country they're from. I don't care what car they drive. I don't care anything about it. He says, wherever they are, I paid the price. And you're sitting here today. And you're sitting here today because he's been pulling. He's been drawing. Not even of your own making. Because he loved you. He's been tugging at your heart. And you can feel something in this place that's pulling. You're saying, what is this? I'm here to tell you what it is. It's the Spirit of Almighty God. The Spirit, it's the moving of God. That's the Spirit, is God in action. What you're experiencing today is God is right here in 2023 in action. He's moving, he's pulling. Not only do you need to understand that for yourself, but he said to his disciples, it's really important that I go. It's expedient, in fact, that I go. Because if I do not go, if I go, I'm going to come again. And he's not talking about the rapture. He's talking about, I am with you. Amen. But I'm going to be in you. Mm-hmm. Well, wait. Do you know the stuff I've done? He's saying, wait a minute. I already went to the cross and shed innocent blood. I'm not going to force you. I'm only going to draw you. So all I'm going to do is draw you. I'm going to tug and I'm going to pull. But I paid the price. And if you'll just turn to the draw, don't resist what you're feeling this morning. Say, you know what? I can't save myself. I've already tried it. And I will tell you that I do have two magnets here, and I'm not going to be able to pull a couple hundred pounds apart myself. But you know what? It takes a positive and a negative. Because when you have a positive and a positive, what happens to the magnets? They repel. If you're sitting here today thinking you got it all together and you don't need God, you got your positive coming up against the positive God, you're just repelling God. But how you experience God is when you wake up to the fact that you need God. Is there someone in here who does, do we not all need God? And you say, but wait a minute, my life is such a mess. Perfect. Because it takes a negative It takes a negative to join with the positive to bring the pull to completion. That's the miracle of my mighty God. He's saying, oh, I want to reach you. I want to reach you. I want to reach you. I robe myself in flesh to make a way so that the spirit that was in Christ, the spirit. You ever wondered why when you're reading in the Bible when it talks about the Holy Spirit, it freely interchanges the spirit of God with the spirit of Christ as if, you know, some people get confused. The only reason why they're confused is because somebody told them these are two different people. They're not two different people. Because it's the Spirit of God in Christ. That's why it's interchangeable. The only way you can have what you can have is because of what he did so he can inhabit you. He came in Christ and Christ died in the Spirit of Christ, which is God. Within that Christ wants to come inside of you. And the songs we sang today is the last part of the message. He didn't just do it to save you. But he put that power that overcame death, hell, and the grave in you so that that power could now emanate out of you. And he said, I will give you power that you can be a witness. And what I want you to understand, and I do wish I had a little bit more time, but I don't, so I'm going to wrap it up. What I do want you to know is he wants to change you this morning. Not just for you. Because when everybody sees the change in you, and now you have Christ in you, he is drawing people through you. That's like, wow, what happened to him? And everybody in here who has the Holy Spirit has the dunamis, from which we get our word dynamite, that creative power. That's the reason why he says, you can lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. I can't heal anybody, not in myself. But because the Spirit of Christ dwells within me, if I'll just believe and be obedient, it'll happen through my hands. Not for my ego, but to his glory, because he takes ordinary common people that were so lost and so far that he was drawing and he was pulling, and we chose to respond because we chose to respond, and we identified and we took that blood of Jesus Christ and we were buried with him in baptism, in where his name is called over us to cover all of those sins. And that buffer begins to create that space where his spirit can enter into our hearts. And because of that we have been baptized and his spirit is entering into our hearts, we now have the power to live an overcoming life. And more than that, we have the power within us to reach everyone because he's drawing everyone. But our problem is we're judging those that we work with. We're judging other people while we're missing the whole time we're judging. Even though they have their little mat out in the corner of the airport at the right amount of time, you can judge that person. But I know what God's doing. He's drawing. And you can know and mark it down that anybody you know, because his word says that I will draw all men unto me. And what he's looking for is a whole lot of magnets by putting his spirit in your heart. Let's stand. So after his crucifixion, he said to his disciples, just before his ascension, he says, behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued, that's clothed with power, miraculous, specifically miraculous power, from on high. Jesus promises not only to overcome and overthrow Satan, but to empower you with the same dynamic power. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me, for John truly baptized or submerged with water, but you're going to be submerged with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. And you will, verse 8 of Acts 1, you will receive power after that. The Holy Ghost has come upon you, the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Did my best in 25, 30 minutes to try to take that whole story from beginning to end. The Almighty God, the creator of the universe, even though you have fallen and failed, is drawing. He paid the price. He wants to see the curse and the pain healed. You don't have to go another day. All it takes is what Peter said on the day of Pentecost when they asked Peter, what do I do? Peter said, just turn to that pull. Stop resisting that pull. Just turn. That word turn is translated repent. You feel that, just turn. And he says, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness, the remission, the taking away of all of that curse, and ye shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ in you. So we invite you today, if you'd like to be baptized or receive the Holy Spirit, would you just come as they begin to sing? And join me over on this side. Maybe you need the power of healing today. You know what's going to happen? Some really ordinary people will come with you. They'll lay hands on you in the name of Jesus. And you'll be healed. Why? Because he's here. He's pulling. That's his heart's desire. He wants to see you healed. And maybe you're someone here who's struggling with things and needing a real touch from God. Come over here. So whatever your needs are today, the Spirit, baptism, come to my left, healing, to the front. People are here to meet with you, to bring you to Jesus Christ. His presence has been here from the outset of the service. As we began to worship just 1 hour ago, we felt the tug of his Spirit. Now he's inviting you to step into the midst of it. He's not going to force you, but he simply gives you an invitation. He gives you an invitation. You feel the tug? Would you come? Someone will come with you. Turn to somebody and say, can we go to the front? It's not that there's something magic at the front. It's just a matter of a commitment and a statement from our hearts that I'm responding, I'm turning, I'm acting. In the name of Jesus. Because you love us. Because you love us. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're doing signs, wonders, and miracles. Even though, Lord Jesus, you left this earth, it's still happening because you dwell within the hearts of human beings and your word still goes forth. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord Jesus.
Not by mine, but only by the cross we come alive. Here we're undone, overcome by heaven's love revealed before our eyes. Show us your glory, God. Show us your glory. Show us your glory.
So I will walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me. My victory,
your spirit lives within me. So I will walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me. My victory, your spirit lives within me. So I will walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me. My victory, your spirit lives within me. So I will walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me.
Your spirit
my victory, your spirit lives within me. So I will walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me. My victory, your spirit lives within me. So I will walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me. My victory, hallelujah. I am not alone.
I'm never alone. Your spirit's with me and I'm never alone.
He is my comfort. Oh,
so believe I'm strong when I am weak. I will be free. Yeah.
Your power at work in me. I'm broken. Gracefully, I'm strong when I am weak. I will be free.
Yeah.
Your power at work in me.
I'm broken. Gracefully,
I'm broken. Gracefully,
I'm strong.
I'm strong when I am weak. I will be free.
Your power at work
Your
in
power me. I'm broken. Gracefully, I'm strong when I am weak.
Keep praying for those of you that were down here, maybe praying for the Holy Ghost and you haven't received it as of yet. Don't get discouraged. I grew up in a pastor's home. It took me a little while. It just took a little bit. We're all different. Some people like, boom, it happens immediately, and other people it takes a little bit. So don't get frustrated. It's a process. Enjoy it. You step that much closer to God. But I also want to encourage you that during the week when you're praying, you can get the Holy Ghost in the shower, in your car, walking down the street. You can speak in tongues anywhere. So don't be discouraged today. We have a young man received the Holy Ghost. I think he might have come to our hyphen chili bowl yesterday, and he's getting baptized here shortly. But thank you again, Brother Galen Thompson and Sister Ann Thompson, who did a tremendous job ministering to our leadership yesterday and today. Thank you so very much. God bless you all. And we have our Spanish service that's going to be starting. They're going to be coming in here in a few moments and getting ready for their service. But to continue to pray for those in the congregation who are sick in body and struggling with those illnesses. God bless you. Love you all. Appreciate you. Wednesday evening, we're going to start our series for February a little bit later, but here in the month of February, but we're going to be talking about the battle of the mind and pressing on, preparing our house for revival. God bless you.